Avoid the hassle of dealing with your bank and transfer online, by app or over the phone with Currencies Direct today. Keep listening for an exclusive offer for Tax Bites for expats listeners. And thanks to Currencies Direct for their support of this podcast.
Welcome to Tax Bites for Expats, the top tax tips you want to know as an expat. The podcast is here to help answer the common queries and concerns expats have when moving to or from Ireland. Complex taxes explained simply. We'll focus on the Irish and international tax issues to be aware of to ensure you save time, money, and stress.
Welcome back to Tax Bites for Expats. This is another two-part episode after my chat with Alan Purcell, a chartered accountant and tax expert with Cloud Accounts. He shared so much with me, so we had to split it into two episodes. This week is part two, continuing my chat with Alan, and we cover how tax works in Ireland, the evolution of the tax system in Ireland over time, how to save money as a pay-as-you-earn employee, and his best tax efficiency tips. Thanks for joining me again, and enjoy this second part of my chat with Alan Purcell. Okay, that's really interesting. You know, generally when you are kind of guiding people through taxes in Ireland, maybe just high level, you kind of alluded to it there. Do you want to explain kind of high level how the tax system in Ireland works for individuals, maybe with reference to like income tax, USC? I don't expect you to know the thresholds for USC. Yeah. I never remember them off the top of my head. And social insurances, just even high level how that works. I think our listeners would find that really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. So three taxes basically in Ireland. Income tax, which is a tax on your income, the universal social charge, or the USC, which was temporarily brought in, was it back in 2010, 2011, sometime in the deep dark recession, on a temporary basis. And here we are in 2024, still paying it. And then the third one is PRSI, which is pay-related social insurance, and that is our social insurance contributions. I don't really understand why it's called pay-related social insurance, because it doesn't seem to be in any way related to your pay. I know my wife is finishing up her maternity leave at the moment, and her maternity benefit is the same as somebody who earns half of her salary and the same as someone who earns double her salary. So PRSI is the worst named tax I've ever come across.
Just a really good point.
It doesn't make any sense. And PRSI is, but it's probably the easiest one to understand. It's 4% of your income is what you pay in PRSI. Your employer is also obligated to pay PRSI, but that's nothing to do with the employee. It doesn't cost you anything. It's on the employer to worry about. So an employee just needs to know that 4% of their salary is going to be taken in social insurance contributions, and that builds up what used to be called stamps. Now they're just called, I think, social insurance contributions, and that makes you eligible for a whole host of different welfare and benefits if needs be. Then the income tax, as I mentioned earlier, we have two rates of income tax, 20% and 40% in Ireland. In 2024, the 20% rate of income tax exists on all income up to €42,000. And any income you earn above €42,000 is taxed at the 40% rate. Very important to know that if somebody has a salary of €43,000, it's 20% on the 42,000 and 40% on the 1,000. You don't suddenly get taxed at 40% on your entire earnings if you breach.
That's a really good point.
Yeah, because that's a panic, and that would stop people. But to be honest, I've heard anecdotally people who don't take on overtime, don't take on additional work because they creep over that 42,000. And when you start adding in the income tax, the PRSI and the USC, you're looking at somewhere between 48 and 52% of every euro being lost in tax. As you mentioned, with the USC, there is a whole host of bands and rates that I could not even begin to tell you, because they change them annually. And just as soon as you've got your head wrapped around what they are, they change again.
They change them again.
all the time. There's a 0%, a 2%, a 4.5%, and an 8% rate of USC. The 8% one kicks in, I think, is at 70,000 and 44 euro. Why that isn't rounded down to 70 grand even is beyond me. I'd love to know.
I don't know why.
Yeah, how much tax has been generated on that 44 quid times 8%? It's a strange one, but it is what it is.
I think they did change it. I remember something when the budget came out. One of the bands was increased to take into account an adjustment in the minimum wage, but it wasn't the 70,000 euro one. So no, that was why they did creep it to a funny one. And then the other thing that sometimes catches some of our clients, it's rare, is if you go over 100,000 euro of non-pay-as-you-earn employee income, you now go up to an 11% rate 11%. Of universal social charge, which is a real clanger. It brings your effective rate up to 55%. That's not a nice outcome for anybody, but thankfully it doesn't happen all that often.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, isn't it? It's very high.
Someone who comes into Ireland on a PAYE salary of 100 grand plus doesn't need to worry about that. It's only for basically self-employed or non-PAYE, so maybe rental income, something like that.
Exactly.
Like a common trope or misnomer, let's say, is, you know, oh, I pay 50% tax in Ireland. Nobody, and I mean nobody, pays 50% tax. Not even the richest person in Ireland pays 50% tax, because our tax credits, or as I prefer to call them, your tax-free allowance, absorbs quite a chunk of tax. Then you're paying 20% rate up to 42,000. I know it's not high, but it's just the fact. So if somebody is actually paying 50% of their income away in tax, they have a serious, serious problem and need to reach out to yourself or myself to get a second set of eyes on it, because something's gone wrong. But any income over 70,000 euro, unfortunately, each additional euro above that threshold is hit at a 52% rate. And it's just, it's tough. Now, what can you do to get around that? My number one piece of advice would be to invest in your pension, because you can get tax relief on anything that you put into a pension contribution. Your tax relief on your pension contributions is given at the rate of income tax you're paying. So that's either 40% or 20%. And just to give a kind of a visual example, an audible example would be somebody who has a salary of, let's say, 80,000 euro. They decide to, you know, put 10,000 of that into their pension. They will get 40% tax relief on that 10,000. And what that means is revenue won't charge them 4,000 euro of income tax. So that 10,000 that gets invested in the pension, it actually only costs the employee 6,000 euro to pay in. So if someone turns around to you and says, would you like 10,000 euro for 6,000 euro? That's an excellent deal. And that's how you would do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? Like, I think, you know, you said something there at the start that I thought was really good. You said, you know, nobody teaches us this. And, you know, one of the things that I found as I've kind of gone through my career is just when you sit down and think about the value of a pension. And so firstly, a couple of facts, and I don't have hard statistics, but, you know, Irish people, we're not renowned for being avid pension contributors. In other words, we pay our PRSI, which obviously gives us a certain level of comfort into retirement. But when we look at other nations, so for example, a lot of our US clients, they are fantastic at paying into their retirement plans. Irish people, we tend to be lagging in that kind of mindset. But when you break down exactly what you said, you know, you can put the money into a pension, then it's going to sit in a pension pot and grow tax free. I mean, that's amazing, assuming the investment goes up, because of course it can go down. And then you get to retirement age where now your income level has flattened. So your tax rate is now falling from arguably that higher rate, hopefully to a lower rate, as well as the fact then that there is a certain amount you can take as a tax-free lump sum. It's a no-brainer, isn't it? It really is a no-brainer. If you can live without the cash, put it into a pension.
It's tax magic. You get tax relief on the way in. So you get a tax benefit when you pay into the pension. You get the tax-free growth in the pension, and you get a tax-free lump sum with taking it out of the pension. And as you say, you can be very strategic about the amount that you take out annually then to make sure you hover below higher income tax rates. It's pure magic. It's not very snazzy, being perfectly honest, a pension. I see loads of people saying, oh, I'd rather invest in crypto or shares or ETFs or whatever it might be. They all come with their own host of tax-related issues, let's call them, and they're also quite volatile, whereas pensions are spread across a range of investments. And yeah, there's going to be plenty of people who will say, oh, but, you know, my uncle lost his entire pension in 2011. These things did unfortunately happen, but, you know, that was possibly to do with whatever way they were structured or set up with their financial advisors. Again, it's another day's conversation, but it really is. Pensions are tax magic. The amount of saving you get on them from a tax perspective is off the charts. But for some reason, as you say, we're not hugely into it in this country.
I don't know what that is, but I think it's changing. And I think, you know, as well, exactly to your point, clients often say that to me, you know, I want to invest. And, you know, my response is, well, that's exactly what you're doing with a pension. You are investing, likely in exactly the same assets that you could buy directly in your DEGIRO account or your Revolut account, but you're doing it in a tax efficient way, albeit without the same level of you know, you can't direct the investments in the same manner, but you know, most people don't want to become day traders. It's interesting to hear that that's the main advice. I mean, look, this is not the intent of this episode is not to kind of go through all the other ancillary tax incentives in Ireland. There are some, aren't there? You know, there are certain schemes. I don't know if that's something that you find a lot of your clients gravitate towards. You know, we've got like the EIS scheme and different things like that. They tend to come with a lot of red tape, don't they, for most individuals. If you want to save taxes as an employee, you need to basically approach an advisor if you're going to kind of do something outside the realms of what we're discussing. Would you agree with that? Or do you see there's other things on the table that we haven't added to the discussion yet?
The likes of an EIS, which is a big tax saver, again, up to 40% tax relief on those. I mean, they sound great and they are great, but they're kind of, they're not as common maybe as you might be led to believe, I don't think. And yeah, accessing them, sometimes it can be capped the amount you can put in, or there might be a minimum investment even to put in. So they mightn't be attainable for somebody who's kind of just getting by but wants to be tax efficient. So they do come with their own kind of traps and pitfalls. And then also, yeah, they usually have to be done through an advisor who might take a bit of a commission on the way into that payment. I've never done one myself. I've always toyed around with the idea of it. And then, to be perfectly honest and boring, I just take that money and throw it into the pension instead, because it's just, it's the safer bet. I suppose with an EIS, you're investing in one company, it's not diversified. And if that company goes to the wall, your investment is gone, albeit you will still get your tax relief. But it's just a little bit more, I suppose, volatile or unsafe than your pension can be. But look, this isn't a pension sales pitch by any means. It's just, we don't have amazing investment options available to us in Ireland. I mentioned earlier about ETFs. Other countries, you know, will heavily promote ETFs. In the UK, they have their ISAs.
Yeah.
In Ireland, we just don't do these things. It's all really funneled through capital taxes. Our annual exemption from capital gains tax at €1,270, which was £1,000 back in the day, is shockingly low. And then our capital gains tax rate of 33%. Is quite high compared to some other jurisdictions. So like I've dealt with plenty of clients who've moved to Ireland from overseas, and you start talking about these things and you would deal with it daily, Steph, and people are just flabbergasted in Ireland at the rate of tax they pay, whether it's on income, whether it's on capital, whether it's on, you know, inheritances and gifts. It just seems to be getting them from every angle and very, very difficult to avoid.
And now a quick word on our episode sponsor, Currencies Direct. If you're looking for a fast, easy way to transfer money to or from Ireland without the hassle and cost of dealing with your bank, keep it simple with Currencies Direct. Whether you're buying property or require regular currency transfers, Currencies Direct can help you save money. As a special offer for our listeners, when you use the link in the show notes and quote expat taxes when registering with Currencies Direct, you'll receive a €50 once for all or Amazon voucher when you transfer €5,000 or more in your first 6 months with Currencies Direct. Registration is quick and easy, and you decide how you transfer 24/7 via their online money transfer service, over the phone with one of their friendly experts, or by using their handy mobile app. Check the show notes or head to currenciesdirect.com to register. And thanks to Currencies Direct for the support of this podcast. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. And I think, you know, sometimes when people, you know, do what we all do, they go to Google and they start to search, it can feel a little bit hopeless, can't it? And I think where I would try to stress to clients is, yes, there's limitations. Ireland's a poster child for a low corporate tax rate. That doesn't mean that our individuals are taxed at a low rate. Yeah. Some would argue that perhaps the individuals plug the gap to some extent. But it does always reinforce in my mind the value of getting good advice from somebody like yourself. I suppose, you know, I would look at tax efficiency as being relevant when different life events happen. So for example, you know, you touched on it earlier. If you've just gotten married, you know, make sure that you've updated your My Account to reflect that, you know, as soon as you can, so you can get the tax credits. If you are planning to retire, Sit down with your financial planner and a tax advisor. Think about what it looks like. If you're moving to a new country, take advice before you go. If you're thinking about your retirement or passing on your assets, you know, write your will with the reliefs we have in mind. It's sometimes about being proactive, isn't it? Rather than resigned to a terrible outcome. Maybe I'm overly optimistic. What do you think?
No, you're right. Because like, speaking from experience, revenue won't do this for you. Like, and you mentioned at the start of this, Steph, when revenue owes you money, they will have that back in your bank account 9 times out of 10 in a couple of days. They're unbelievably good at that, but they will not do it for you. And you've probably seen it with some Form 12s. Anyone who's never filed one of these before, when you click in and literally get past the first screen, it will say to you underpayment or overpayment or balance. And as I say, it's very rare you'll see underpayment. A lot of the time you'll see balance, which means it's all square. And then if there's an underpayment there, that's revenue acknowledging, sorry, an overpayment. If that's revenue acknowledging that they owe you money. And I've seen that overpayment in the four figures, like in the thousands. But revenue won't write to you and say, Alan, we owe you £1,000, file your tax return. So it's a very strange situation that we aren't obligated to file our PAYE tax returns. And then obviously, because we're not taught this in school and because people are fearful of revenue in Ireland, they don't do it. And then you click in and there's a nice little surprise waiting there. So, you know, I would just encourage people, click into the system, have a look at it, and fingers crossed that there's something to be claimed, and then start looking at the common ones. And when I talk about the common ones, going back to what I said earlier, it's medical expenses, medical insurance, if your employer pays it, working from home, rent tax credit if you were renting, possibly home carers, possibly single parent tax credit for anyone who might be in the situation. And again, just Google it and find out, because there's so many of them that you'll be surprised how almost straightforward it is to get some money back out of the system. And if you can get a couple of hundred quid for sitting down for half an hour and going through that, that's a pretty good rate of pay that you mightn't even get at work. So it's definitely worth doing. I know I always get asked as well, can I just pay one of the rebate companies to do it? You can. And just anyone who's listening and goes through that, just be aware that they'll do it annually kind of for you without your express permission, because you've signed up once, and also they'll change your bank account details to their own and your refund will go to them and you lose your commission before you get paid. So not here to give out about them, but just to be aware of what you're kind of getting in for. Follow my Instagram page where I'll show you how to do it, or worst case, book in with me for a once-off. We'll do it live together in a consultation, and you'll be armed with the knowledge and confidence to go off and do this yourself forever.
I would really recommend that anybody listening to this who maybe has come to Ireland as a pay-as-you-earn employee and just wants a 101 on how to kind of ease into the system, and they don't have complicated scenario, I think that consultation with you would reap dividends for years to come. It's a no-brainer, because I did one with a client the other day, and you know, her situation was slightly complex, but she was overwhelmed by it. And you know, it's easy for me to sit here and say, oh, she shouldn't have been. It is overwhelming. Yeah. You know, you don't know what you don't know, and we're all busy. We all just want kind of things done simply and quickly. So yeah, I think your service is invaluable. It really, really is. I want to quote as well. I'm not going to take it as my line because I'd be plagiarizing him. But Mark Westlake, who we interviewed on this podcast a few weeks ago, he's a financial planner. He says, if you haven't written an estate plan, don't worry, revenue have written one for you. And I think it's funny, but it's also really true that if you are unfortunately lackadaisical about this, the outcome will be what it is. Being proactive, you know, you will be rewarded in 99% of the cases for being an employee when you're in an employee situation. And maybe just for the avoidance of doubt, if you are somebody who has a more complex situation, you do move into the realm of having to file a tax return. You know, so if you have non-employment income of over €5,000, you must register with revenue. This episode is not geared towards you. But of course, we'll have other episodes coming that will be. So maybe that's our next topic. Alan, thank you so much. If you had to give people 3 takeaways from today's episode, what would they be?
Yeah, 3 takeaways. One would be, do not be afraid of this. It's nowhere near as bad as you might think, filing a tax return. Secondly, kind of following on from that almost, would be just believe in yourself. You can do this. You don't necessarily need to outsource it or pay somebody to do it for you. If you can operate a computer and if you can pull out your bills and your receipts, you're 90% of the way there. And third takeaway would be, just do it. As simple as that might seem, just do it, because you're going to be surprised at what will come out. It's almost like shaking a tree and seeing what falls. And you could be in for a very, very nice surprise when you go through that tax return system.
I think you're like the Robin Hood of the tax world. I think it's brilliant.
Myself and one other person that are on Instagram who's actually, and I'll say it here, her name's the Remote Bookkeeper. You've probably come across her, Steph. She's on Instagram. And she does similar to me, it's just trying to just open up the Irish PAYE tax return system and show people how manageable and straightforward it is. Her page is worth following. It's The Remote Bookkeeper on Instagram, or follow Cloud Accounts Ireland on Instagram. And between the pair of us, we are trying to just get money back, and revenue probably hate us. But yeah, it puts smiles on faces when we see people saying, I got a grand, I got 2 grand. Obviously, anyone who's listening, I don't want to get your hopes up that you're going to get a couple of thousand back. It's not always the case, but even if it's a few hundred, whatever it might be, it's so much better in your pocket than in revenues. And as I said earlier, every year they come out and say that there's hundreds of millions of euro overpaid in PAYE taxes, but it's on the taxpayer, the employee, the PAYE worker, to go and do this themselves and reclaim that money. So please go and do it.
Totally. And maybe just a final word from me. Remember, you're getting your own money back. we forget that, don't we? This is your own money.
On that, do you follow Dave Ramsey in the States? And he saw a comment from him before, like that when you get your tax return and your money back from, well, IRS over there, but revenue here, you shouldn't really celebrate it because you've just given the government an interest-free loan for however long they held on to your tax overpayments.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It just feels like once you ask, their permission to give you your own money back, that it's a win. But look, it is. Anything that goes into your bank account versus out feels like a win. And this feels like a win. It's been a great episode. Thank you so much, Alan. It's been fantastic to talk to you. I think a lot of our listeners are going to be following your Instagram account. So just for the avoidance of doubt, Cloud Accounts, is that where they'll get you on Instagram?
On Instagram, it's at Cloud Accounts Ireland. Somebody else out there beat me to the good one. So it's at Cloud Accounts Ireland.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you so much. Okay, brilliant. We'll have to arrange to have you on again. And thank you so much for your time. It's been absolutely fantastic chatting with you.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Tax Bites for Expats. Please do leave a rating or review wherever you listen to your podcast. And as always, remember to take professional tax advice specific to your personal circumstances before acting or refraining from action in connection with the matters dealt with in this series. The material in this podcast is intended to give general guidance only.